Russia says that al-Nusra terrorists have deployed chemical weapons in an area near the city of Aleppo. According to the Russian Defense Ministry, the al-Qaeda-linked terrorist group have brought chlorine munitions to the area they control north of Aleppo. It says trucks loaded with the gas arrived from the neighboring Idlib province. The northern Syrian province of Aleppo has been the scene of fierce fighting between government forces and foreign-backed militants over the past few weeks. A ceasefire has been in place in Aleppo city since last Thursday, but the fighting has been raging on in its suburbs. Foreign-backed militants have frequently used chemical weapons during the conflict in Syria. The UN and rights bodies have time and again expressed deep concerns over the use of banned munitions in the war. Joining us via Skype from London is Catherine Shakdam. She's the director of the Shafaqna Institute for Middle Eastern Studies. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV, Ms. Shakdam. Now, first of all, let's not forget that just a few days ago, the OPCW had also sounded the alarm of the terrorist groups in Syria having their hands on chemical weapons, or having the ability at least to produce chemical weapons. However, we're not seeing any action on the ground, just words of concern and maybe even condemnation.
Well, that's what the international community is used to do. I mean, this is what they have been doing for the past 5 years when it comes to Syria. Condemnation, concern, but nothing is really being done on the ground. And I think that we need to understand this is some form of political grandstanding, where what they're doing is just pointing the fingers and trying to kind of deflect guilt and accountability by just testifying that, yes, there is a danger, that, yes, there is this threat hovering over people's head, and somehow it doesn't concern them because they're the one doing the condemning. When we know, in fact, that what they're doing while condemning is actually under the table, is actually helping and enabling those militants to get their hands on chemical weapons. I mean, I recall not that long ago how the international community, the U.S. in the lead, was pointing a very angry finger at President Bashar al-Assad, saying that he's the one who was actually behind a terrifying attack in Damascus, chemical attack against his own people, when we know now that actually it was Turkey who provided the chemical agent so that Daesh militants could actually attack Syrian people and then turn around and blame it on Damascus government. So again, we are in a situation where, because the Syrian army is doing a fantastic job at pushing against Daesh militants and radicals in general in Syria, Aleppo is the biggest city in Syria and represent a geostrategic, very important point. And so if Daesh was to lose Aleppo, we all know that that would be the end of Daesh altogether in Syria. And so now you could see that, you know, the likes of Turkey and Saudi Arabia are pushing desperately to try to have something happen in Aleppo, and they're trying to flip the narrative against Damascus, and they're trying to kind of portray once again Syria as being the instigator of violence and a war criminal, when really they're the one doing the manipulating, they're the one doing the war crimes. There is a real danger here, I think, that, you know, no one is going to do anything about this new threat, which is a very real threat and has been a threat for many years. This is not just suddenly appeared. This has been a reality in Syria. The question is, so far, the likes of Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the rest of them have not enacted or actually pulled the trigger on the use of chemical agents in a global framework. Now there's the risk that because they're losing, they will revert to this, and they will do everything that they can to enact a genocide in Syria just to score political points.
Well, Ms. Shakdam, I'm curious as far as your opinion goes when it comes to the negotiations that were taking place between the Syrian government and the so-called High Negotiations Committee. Had they not forestalled those negotiations, had they not been stonewalling a solution, we wouldn't be in this mess right now, would we?
No, I completely agree with you. I mean, the problem is, when we talk about the opposition in Syria, we need to be clear about, you know, what opposition, who are we talking about, and who do those groups represent? Because it's very easy to say the word opposition and just assume that those people and those groups are legitimate when they are not. If you are referring to the groups and militants and organizations that the Saudis have backed, we know now for a fact that those groups are not legitimate at all. They're barely Syrian, to be quite honest with you. And they are, you know, a bunch of ragtag radicals who are there to represent Saudi Arabia's interest in Syria. And I can tell you that Saudi Arabia's interest in Syria has nothing to do with Syrian interest in Syria. It's actually quite the opposite. What Saudi Arabia wants is in fact, turn Syria into another vassal state, another satellite state of Riyadh. And I think that President Bashar al-Assad has done a great job at highlighting it. He has demonstrated it, but people still not listening. So yes, of course, I mean, there is no real peace process. There is no peace talks as such, because what people want is the invasion of Syria and the surrendering of Syria's sovereignty. So of course, the Syrian people have an issue with this. And how do you negotiate with terrorists? I mean, if you really want to go to the core matter, people, the international community, not people, are asking President Bashar al-Assad, who represents Syria's sovereignty, to negotiate with terrorists. This is the reality today. And still he has to kind of go through the motion, because he has to prove to the world that he's not a tyrant and that he actually means democracy when he says democracy for his people. And so he has to do this ridiculous exercise, sitting across a table with people who are radical and terrorists, trying to find a way forward. But it is a really difficult situation. I don't think that people kind of appreciate how difficult it is, not for just the Syrian government, but for Syrian people, to keep a straight face and stay patient in the face of utter, you know, it has become a farce. It has become a joke, but the joke is on us, because we are being asked to look at terrorists and terrorism as if somehow they became legitimate just because the Saudi and the US have said so.
All right, let's leave it there for now. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. That's the director of Shafaqna Institute for Middle Eastern Studies, Catherine Shakdam, joining us via Skype from London. It's always a pleasure having you with us here on Press TV, ma'am.